You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Coach Jen in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chapman from Gardnerville, Nevada. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network on May 12th, episode 3948. Good morning, Horse World.
Welcome back, Karen. Karen's here the second Tuesday of every month where we sit around and talk about all things endurance. How you been, girl?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We went from winter to summer here in Ocala, Florida. How about you?
Yes, kind of the same. We're about, I think yesterday and today are 20 degrees above normal. We're like in the 90s.
Ooh,
I know. So it's supposed to cool back down in the next couple of weeks and get us back down to like 70, which will be nice. Because the heat hitting this sudden, it's melting us.
Yeah, I bet it does. And you are in a kind of a high desert kind of a climate. You're pretty at a pretty significant elevation, aren't you?
Well, we're about 5,000 feet.
That's significant. We're at 223 feet.
Oh, that's a big difference.
And we live on the top of the hill, and it's 223 feet. So the sun is heating up that sandy soil, and that makes it all the more much more miserable, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, the sun bakes everything. Like, even it's even too hot for tomato plants.
Oh, that sucks, because there's nothing better than a homegrown tomato.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just have to plant them next to where there's shade. So
yes, you have to plant a tree to shade the tomatoes that you're going to plant.
Uh-huh.
Well, for the uninitiated, Karen gets together with either Glenn or I once every month, and we sit around and chat about all things endurance. But fear not if you're not an endurance rider, because the topics we talk about on the show aren't just endurance. And our training tip of the month which is coming up soon, is one of those, because we're going to be talking about the mental game of endurance riding. And if you like, you can say the mental game of riding, because it applies to all sports. But before we do that, we always like to catch up a little bit on your adventures, because endurance riders have some of the best adventures in horsedom. So what have you and the ponies been doing since we chatted last?
Well, we got Apollo back. You might not know, because I think Glenn was on the last show, but we got him back. He was emaciated, like a score of 3 on body score, and he was in really poor shape. Fortunately, we did get him back, and we've been working with him now the last couple of months, and he's up to like a 4.5 on the body condition score. You know, we had been walking him. Started out real slow. We're really careful about refeeding him, you know, because that's a thing. You've got to be real careful. You can't just start giving a horse like that all the food they can eat. You've got to be really careful. So we're now working him over. We're walking him over like railroad ties. We've actually been on him a couple of times for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, just did a walk, you know, being really super careful with him. He's running around. He looks great. But because of this, I've learned, I've gone over like my whole nutrition program on my own horses. So I've made a couple of changes there. Like, I learned that there's a certain type of the liquid form of vitamin E that's more readily absorbed and raises the vitamin E levels faster than the powder I had been using. So I switched over to that. And then I also did all the math on everything that the horses were getting fed, and realized that they weren't getting the optimum amount of a biotin supplement. So I added that as well. So hopefully all of the horses are going to benefit from us having to go through this program with Apollo to learn what we needed to do in order to get him back into tip-top shape.
There we go. Yeah, and when they go through that long-term starvation, they're getting radically insufficient nutrition and calories for over a long period of time. Their body really can't absorb things properly. So it's so exciting to see that you're really reaching out to your veterinarian and doing the deep dive into the mathematics of nutrition, because it's really easy to just add stuff and add stuff and add stuff. But the math is important and it makes my head spin. That's why I talk to nutritionists, because the percentage of this, that, or the other nutrient is less important than the grams per serving of this, that, or the other nutrient. So that's great. And I saw a little bit of video of you and Apollo's new owner out for one of your daily hand walks, and he is looking so much better. So that's really great to see.
Thank you. Yes, we are. And I talked her into entering the virtual Tevis.
So
we're getting the miles in, even if it's only a couple at a time, 5 days, 6 days a week. She's doing stretches with them also every day, plus the Cavaletti work. So that's kind of cool. We're doing that. And now I've also been riding my little gray horse. He's only 14 hands. So it's kind of funny to see him next to Apollo. It's like, I've got the 16 hand one and then the 14 hand one. They're both flea bitten. And when we walk them together, people ask, are they related?
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
I know. So that's all good. And then my other horse, Cowboy, he's coming back next Monday. He's been at the trainer. So I'm going to have my hands full with plenty of horses to be working.
You sure are. My goodness. You got a lot of horse flesh there to take care of.
I know. Well, the good thing with Jovi is he's already, strong and fit. So, he'll be good to be the mentor horse. But Apollo is too, once he's able to go,
Right. Yeah. Apollo's got great life experiences. He just has to catch up on the health part.
Right. And the body condition at this point is not the issue. Now the issue is building back the muscle, because his body had kind of cannibalized itself and his muscles just were gone. My 14-hand horse still has a bigger chest, than this great big Anglo Arab does. So it's going to take a while. Those are things that are going to take a long time to build back.
Yeah. Well, and you're really good at playing the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, that's great, because that's the hallmark of endurance, isn't it? Playing the long game.
It kind of is. Yes, it is. And then the other thing I have done in the last month is I went to the High Desert ride on Jovi, and it was not our day. We were doing really good. We got into the first vet check. He passed. I got on to leave and turned around and came back because he did not feel right. And I pulled. So fortunately, my chiropractic friend, who also is an equine body worker, lived on my route home, and I called her and I got in to see her on my way back home, and she worked on him and we could see what he had done. I think part of my problem is he's so strong and forward, he wants to go. So I spend part of the time letting him go, which maybe I shouldn't do that. And then the rest of the time holding him back. So I'm not letting him go. And so we're going to have to work through this, because he's traveling kind of bunched up, and you can see throughout his body where he's causing himself to make his body sore. So she worked on him, and he came home and he actually looked pretty good. I mean, he would have passed a vet check. So I'm just going to let him have a little bit of a break and maybe keep doing some more body work with him. And it doesn't look like there's anything seriously wrong, just that he kind of tweaked himself with some muscle soreness. And we'll just go from there. And this will be okay, because he can go for these walks with Apollo and till we make sure he's okay again.
Yeah. And that's the great part, is that you have other horses and people working with those other horses, because horses do so much better when they have company, whether they're riding in an arena or out on a trail or hand walking. They're such group characters. So It's great that you have that opportunity to work them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I promised earlier that we would chit chat a little bit about the mental game of equestrianism. In this particular case, it's going to be the mental game of endurance riding. So what inspired this endurance tip this month?
Well, getting pulled, and this pull was my first pull since 2015. So it can be a little discouraging. I mean, you expect, you know, if you ride long enough, it's going to happen. Something is going to go wrong. Something about the sport is going to challenge you, and you're going to have highs and lows and ups and downs. And so a lot of the sport is staying positive and working through the whole mental game about it. You know, it's a powerful mindset that in this sport, discomfort is temporary, just like highs and lows. It's temporary and it's completely normal. The low points happen to every rider, but they pass. So learning to move through them is what builds the lasting strength and enjoyment in the sport. So here are the best ways to handle those low moments, both on the trail and throughout your endurance journey. Okay, the first one, expect the lows. Tell yourself this is normal and no low lasts forever. Knowing it's temporary removes the panic and helps you stay steady. Two, focus on what you can control. Zoom in on small actions, your breathing, posture, your horse's rhythm, or offering water or a snack to you and your horse. Three, use positive mantras. Keep simple phrases ready, like calm and forward, 1 mile at a time. Keep moving. We can do this. Repeat them to stay strong.
My favorite positive mantra when I was competing with Nigel was, I haven't fallen off yet. I haven't fallen off yet. I'm still on.
And if you have fallen off, you can say, well, I got that over with.
I got back on. You know, and especially nowadays, even though I'm not riding Giant Nigel anymore, I got back on is, that's not a given. I love it. Yeah, the positive mantras. And I often made use of, you hear this a lot, to have a little song that you sing to yourself, or a poem or something. And I've found that often helpful. People talk about earworms when a tune or something gets stuck in your head and you can't get rid of it. They can be a real benefit when you need to keep your brain focused and positive, to have an earworm. And there's nothing worse, because I have lots of earworms. There's nothing worse when I grab an earworm and there are three words that I can't remember. Like I'll do an Eagles song from the 80s, and there's one verse I can't remember three words to. But that gives me something to focus on.
It does. It sure does.
Oh, that's great. And what's number four?
Break it down. Don't think about the full distance. You know, they always say ride from vet check to vet check. So focus only on, say, the next water stop, the next vet check, the next 10 minutes. You know, you're going over the next hill, around the next bend. Just break it down into smaller bits. Like, I'm going to focus on switching my diagonals or my canter leads, and, you know, taking those deep breaths and just break it down. Don't think, oh my gosh, I still have, you know, 40 more miles to go. You think, oh my gosh, I've already gone 10.
I only have to do that four more times, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I do that a lot with baby horse James. And if you don't know James is my young gated horse that I'm doing my best to make into a riding horse. But he's got a lot of fear. He's just afraid of the whole universe. So when I'm out off the farm riding him, I'm literally in front of the farm. I go down to the neighbor's house. So it's not like we're going very far. But in order to keep my positive attitude because it's very frustrating for me. I've never had a horse with this kind of fear before. I'm like, it's not fair. I shouldn't have this. But here it is. I literally focus on getting to the next dragway. Because if I focus on, if I focus on getting 3 miles down the road, I get very frustrated because it'll take us an hour and a half to get that far. Next driveway. Yay. We got to the next driveway. Call that a win.
Uh-huh.
Breaking it down into tiny little pieces mentally for you, as well as the training process for your horse, can be oh so useful. I'm glad you reminded me of that because it's easier for me to focus on the long game being get to the trailhead. And I just, oh, I want to get to the trailhead. I want to get to the trailhead. Focus on the smaller pieces. And that way I can give myself more successes. Yeah. Great.
Exactly. Okay. Reframe the tough parts. Low moments will deepen your bond with your horse and make you a better rider. The hard parts are what make the highs so rewarding. And finally, the happiest endurance riders aren't the ones who never struggle. They're the ones who get good at navigating the lows with patience and self-compassion. Discomfort is temporary, but the confidence and partnership you build with your horse lasts forever.
Da, da, da. And with that, speaking of lasting forever, Farnam has a new product out that doesn't quite last forever, but lasts a long time. So let's hear a little bit about Farnam's new fly spray. This episode is brought to you by Farnam and Endure Gold Killer Fly and Mosquito Control, a new fly spray for horses. Discover fly protection redefined with Endure Gold. Made to annihilate flies, ticks, and mosquitoes with brand new EPA-approved ingredients never before seen in equine care. Endure Gold is backed by science and built for hard work, delivering fast knockdown and up to 14 days of fly protection. Add Endure Gold to your arsenal and upgrade your fly control rotation.
Our next guest is Diane Connolly, who is the Old Dominion AERC National Championship Ride Manager this year. Welcome, Diane.
Well, I'm excited to do this interview.
Well, we're so glad to have you back again. I know we've spoken with you before, and we're excited that the National Championship is at the Old Dominion this year. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the ride is going to be, it's going to be a 3-day event. It'll be June 11th, 12th, and 13th. On the 11th, which is a Thursday, will be the National Championship 55-mile ride. We are also, in conjunction with this ride, we're going to be hosting the World Championship Ride and Tie. So they will be doing their short course on Thursday. On the 12th, we'll do our regular open division, 25-mile and 55-mile, and the Ride and Tie World Championship will be doing their long course that day. And on Saturday will be the National Championship 100, and running with it simultaneously will be the open division 100. So that would be for riders that didn't make the qualifications, the ARC qualifications to be in the national championship. They can still ride it and ride the course in the open division. And the Ride and Tie will be running their Equathon, which is one horse, one rider. And they do both the running and the riding their own horse.
Well, that's quite a package of events you've got going there. Do you need volunteers?
Yes, we actually do. And we have a volunteer questionnaire, which we just tested. So it'll be on our website. People can click on it and sign up for whatever days they'd like to volunteer. We need volunteers Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we have a small group that stays Sunday to help break down camp. It takes us 3-4 days to set camp up, and we break the whole thing down in a half a day on Sunday afternoon.
Well, tell us about the Old Dominion Trail. We know it's often called the Beast of the East, and it's very technical and quite a challenge. It's the East Coast's, basically it's always compared to Tevis, but it's also very extremely humid and rocky. So tell us what you can about the trail.
Well, we've lucked out the last several years and had temperatures in the 80s and very little humidity. So we're hoping we'll have that kind of weather again this year. Yes, they, as you said, we're known as the Beast of the East. It is a point-to-point, different than Tevis, where they start at one end and it's a linear all the way down into Auburn. Ours is a big loop. So they will go out, and what technically, basically every loop has one big climb. Elevation change is about 3,000 to 3,500 total for the ride. The first loop, I'm going to just do it as the 100. The first loop goes out to a private property, and it's 15.7 miles out to Bird Haven. Beautiful, shady vet check area. The other thing that's very different about us from Tevis is we only have one vet check that the rider's crew cannot meet them there. Other than that, the crew literally follow the riders from vet check to vet check. I mean, obviously they go by road, but they get to the next vet check before the rider gets there. So that's really good because, you know, their crew can come with everything they need. I actually call it the social rolling party because we just all keep moving from vet check to meet the riders. Their second loop is 16.4. Again, one big climb up Falls Ridge. Then they ride along a gorgeous mountain ridge where they have views going down both sides. That's what's beautiful about this ride. It's technical, but then there's sections that you can just really move out on. What a lot of riders say is, sometimes this is one of the easiest hundreds or first time hundreds because the trail paces the horse. They have to go slow through the rocky sections, then they can move out on those ridges. After Laurel Run, they go into Bucktail again. It's a climb up a Forest Service road, 3 miles, just kind of steadily up, up, up till they get on the ridge. And then they ride that ridge for a really long way and then go down into Bucktail. And then from Bucktail, they go to a little gate and go. Then they come into Big 92. And that really, we jokingly say, once you get to 92, it's all downhill from there. Not technically correct, but the horses seem to know they're heading home. When they leave Wakes Run and head towards Big 92, it's like they know they've turned and their noses know they're heading back to camp. If you get through 92, you literally are going 8 miles into Laurel Run again, and then down into Bird Haven, and then it's just 6.5 miles back into camp. So it's a big, huge circle.
And tell us about the Cavalry Award.
That is something that's very unique to the Old Dominion, and that is if somebody signs up for Cavalry, that means they're going to do this entire ride with no help. Now, what we do provide for them at every vet check is 4 bottles of human water. We provide them with a bucket so that's unique and different than everything else. They're actually those old scoop-away yellow buckets with water, but they have to provide their own sponge. They have to carry everything they need on the saddle, so electrolytes, whatever they're going to eat human-wise. A lot of people do the meat sticks, beef jerky, and little packs of tuna and that kind of thing. For the most part, usually the riders, if they're really good about it, I know riders that have carried bags of grain and everything the first time they've done Cavalry, and it's like, I didn't use half of what I carried. And the next time they try Cavalry, they just use what's out in nature. They stop and graze on the trail. There's lots of places that it's just beautiful, grassy, double wide fire roads where you can stop and graze. At each vet check, we kind of rope off a section that's for the Cavalry, and we try to make it a section that's got some grass where the horses can graze. But usually when they're in the vet check, the riders will just walk them around and find grassy patches to eat. But again, nobody can help them. Nobody can even hold the horse. So we do have some comical pictures of riders in the porta potties with their lead line leading out on the outside. What's really important for riders to know is if anything happens during the ride, where they just don't, they feel like they need help, or they themselves are getting a little delirious or malnutritioned or whatever, and they need help, they can come out of the cavalry division and continue with the ride. They just won't be standing for the cavalry award.
Okay, do very many people try to do this?
We used to have quite a few sign up to do it. In the last several years, we've only had, in fact, in the last 2 years, nobody has signed up for it. But usually it's two or three that sign up to try to do it. A lot, most that do it succeed. We've had some pull at the very end, like their horse has cramped up or has a tight muscle and they want people to help work on the muscle. Then they'll come out of the cavalry division, but they've actually done the entire ride in cavalry. But they've come out at the finish line in order to get people to massage the horse's tight muscle or whatever so they can get the completion.
Okay. Tell us what your base camp is like.
Our base camp is a huge 40-acre field. We lease it from Bryce Ski Resort, and it's a big grassy field. If you go on Facebook right now, we just posted tons of pictures. We had a huge work day Saturday, where we got the whole thing mowed down to looking like a golf course. And it has a beautiful creek stream that goes through it. On one side of that stream, we have a huge tent pad that is 40 by 80. It's where we have all our meetings, our meals, our entertainment. This year on Thursday, we're going to have a pig roast as the meal, as the dinner. And then it's going to be followed by a live bluegrass band that is going to play Thursday night for us.
Oh, neat.
So it's really beautiful. And we do ride out of camp up through private property across something called Shrinemont. It's a church-based retreat area. You have several hundred acres. And we actually ride through their property on some beautiful trails to get out to the Forest Service trails that we use for the ride.
Hey, I looked up the website. It is olddominionrides.com. And you've got a lot of educational materials on here that people might find useful. Stuff on how to camp and pack, seminars, clinics, the AERC rules, trivia. So I recommend for people to go check that out in addition to all the information on the Old Dominion rides.
And if they click on the ride events, you will see two links. One is to the ride page with all the entry form documents. We do have an online registration form that's very quick to fill out. It's a JOTS form. But there's also a link that says National Championship, and it's a whole Facebook, it's a whole page on our website with all the information about the National Championship. Has a couple of videos, one that was made by a promotional video that was made by Becky Pierman, our photographer. So it's a lot of pictures from past rides and the views that you'll the riders will get up on the mountain.
That's very good information. Well, Diane, thank you for joining us. We wish you a very successful ride.
Well, thank you. If I can just put another plug in, we're going to have several presentations for riders, basically like little mini clinics. Stag Newman is going to be do a new rider briefing on Thursday at 5, and he's going to be doing another presentation on that was at Thursday at 5, and at 5 on Friday, he's going to be one about doing enduring partnerships, talking about riders and crew working together to get the horse through the ride. So we're going to have lots of different activities besides the ride itself.
Okay, so this is going to be an incredible ride for the riders and a really fun experience for all the volunteers as well, sounds like.
Yes, very much so. And lots of things to go see during the week off camp, which we just put a Facebook post up about all the local attractions. We have caverns. We've got a lot of historical battlefields. So there's lots for everyone to do, whether they're a rider, a family member, or a volunteer.
And sticking with our fly theme this time around, Glenn caught up with Kristen at the Distance Depot, and they had a little chat about the different fly control products you can get at the Distance Depot.
Hey, Kristen, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Of course, Kristen was with the Distance Depot. You can find them at thedistancedepot.com. What are we talking about today?
Well, today I thought we'd talk about a few of the fly masks that we offer and maybe our fly booths. And then I have a new product we're going to talk about real quick.
Okay.
But we could start with the fly masks.
All right.
We offer the Cashel fly masks, or Cashel, some people say. These are really nice, sturdy fly masks for out in the field. They have the Crusader. We offer them with ears, without, in different sizes, Arab and horse. We even have draft and warm blood sizes for the larger horses, and even some smaller sizes for the ponies and minis.
And they come with the nose or not, too, if I remember.
They do, yep. So we offer the long nose, which if your horse has, you know, it helps with dew poisoning, or if he has a pink nose to help with sunburn, they offer the long extended nose. And those two come with ears or without ears. And Cashel also offers a quiet ride fly mask. So that would go right on over your bridle while you're out riding to help with flies while you're out riding as well. It's a thinner mesh, so lighter weight and more comfortable for trail riding.
Okay. And we've used Cashel masks for years and years and years.
Yes. Yep. And it's a great brand. And I should mention that the, you know, it's great for trailering too, because for, you know, when it's really hot in the summer and you're trailering, I have an eye veterinarian friend, and she recommends for sure to put a fly mask on your horse, because that sawdust is flying around in there if you're shipping at all with, you know, and your hay too, and bugs, you know, that can fly in through a window. If you have screens, they can even get around those sometimes. So it's a good thing to use while trailering as well.
Okay.
And they're 70% UV protectant too for the horse's eyes. So that's really nice. Kind of like having sunglasses on.
All right. Very good. And they're in the $30 range, if I remember right, aren't they?
Yeah. They're about $30, somewhere in there. They get a little more expensive when you add ears or when you add the longer nose. But for the most part, yeah, they start around $25.
Okay.
And then we offer the fly free boots, which if your listeners aren't familiar with these are awesome. They come in a set of four, eight different colors, and basically one size fits most. The real tiny ones, you're going to have a harder time with the fit on these. But for the most part, they fit. It says it fits all horses with an adjustable Velcro bottom on the bottom. These are open, light, and airy, and they have a plastic stay, what they call a stay. And essentially, that keeps them from sagging. My horses used to live out in the field with these things. They'd lay down, roll 24/7, and they wear like iron. And the flies don't fly down into them, and they're open at the top. It's really bizarre. But it keeps your horse from having to stomp all the time. And you use a little less fly spray.
I've never seen these flies. They come in all different colors too, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Eight different colors. So, and they're, it, you know, makes it a little easier to find if you get hot orange or lime green.
Yeah, right.
out in the field. But ours didn't come off. They stayed really well.
Okay.
I love this product. And then the last thing, our new product is the Toklat Bucket Pro Holder. And it is a secure way, if you have a horse who likes to pool around or slosh his water bucket, this locks the handle and the back of a 20-quart flat back bucket. Don't say that really fast. But it locks this into place so that the horse can't slosh his water out or his feed, and holds it secure. One-hand operation, and it just has a button that you can undo it, rinse it out, hook it back in there, and keep it nice and secure and safe for the horse.
Jennifer's horse needs this. It's always fussing with the bucket.
There are a lot of horses that need this. This is an awesome product.
I've never seen it. Is this brand new?
Brand new.
Yeah,
yep.
I haven't seen this before. Wow, this is cool.
Distributed by Toklat, so one
it's
of our
favorites.
It's
made to be put on wood. You screw it to wood, it looks like. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you can put it on fences or posts or, you know, of course, your stall wall. You can just screw it on with, you know, sheetrock screws.
All right, so that's the Toklat Bucket Pro Holder. And, of course, you can find everything at thedistancedepot.com. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks so much.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Our next guest this morning is Jamie Reed Ruff, who is a great supporter of the sport of endurance. And I saw a post she did on the American Endurance Ride Conference Facebook page on the survival of endurance. And I thought it would be a good topic to talk about. So, Jamie, welcome this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so what inspired you to make that post?
I think it's just a combination of things. I've been following the sport since the 90s, and it's just been a steady decline in membership over the years. Probably the last 5 or 10 years, it's just been a steady decline. And while I'm not an endurance rider, I really love the sport. I love what the sport offers for horsemanship and getting to know your equine partner in a way that most average equestrians don't. So I just thought it would be a great way to host a clinic and have some booths in some areas to try to promote the sport, which is kind of, social media has kind of got in the way for people to really know that events are happening. You get so much in your feed that you're so inundated that you miss out on events that could really educate you. And a lot of times you don't even see flyers at the feed stores very much anymore, or on bulletins, or magazines are almost a way of the past. So people aren't getting magazines like they used to 10 or 15 years ago. So social media has just kind of, while it's great in some aspects, it's not. So I figure old school marketing, being in front of people and actually being at events where other equestrians are going to be, so that you're kind of saturated with equestrians versus like just having a flyer at the feed store. You got equestrians going in there getting horse feed and other supplies, but you don't have a saturation of it. So when you're at an event, most of those people are equestrians, and you can actually talk to more horsewomen and horsemen about whatever your topic is that you need to focus on. So I just thought maybe doing an endurance clinic and a booth or a table at any event would help spread the word about ARC or endurance or any distance sport. All distance sports are on a decline. Doesn't matter whether it's NATRAC or endurance or NACMO, which is National Association of Competitive Mounted Orienteering, where they use a compass. So it's kind of like a cross between NATRAC and endurance, but Everybody's on a decline. And I think it's because everybody's using social media and not doing it old school. Because there's a lot of people that don't use social media.
Right, exactly. And so they're missing out. And then other people kind of do avoid some of it because of, you know, some of the negative aspects of social media. So like you mentioned on the AARC page, there's like 45,000 members on there. So if everybody played their part and did something positive towards exposing the sport to more people, we could make a really big difference.
Yes, ma'am. If people would, just your average endurance rider, even if you're doing an LD or a 50 or even 100, or even if you're just trying to get into the sport, if you could just put a flyer up at your local feed store that you're looking for somebody to condition with or to start, you know, you want more information or you need somebody local to kind of mentor you. It's people have to do their part. I'm not, like I said, I am not an endurance rider. Hopefully that will change soon. That's my goal. But I'm still doing my part. If I can do my part, so can everybody else.
Good ideas. So tell us about your horse cookie idea.
So a good way to, like, if you have a booth or a table somewhere, if you're nervous about how to approach someone, and sometimes lots of people are, they just, they want to support and they want to promote their sport or their event, and they're just afraid to walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you know about some, it might, they just, some people just get nervous about doing that. So a good conversation starter is make you some little Ziploc bags with a handful of cookies, horse cookies, and then just walk up to them and say, hey, do you want some free horse cookies? I'm not passing up free horse cookies. I know you're not. And most horse people are not going to pass up free horse cookies. So that's a good conversation starter, because then you can go into asking more questions like, hey, where do you ride? Well, what kind of riding do you do if you're not barrel racing or you're not roping or you're not doing obstacles or whatever the event you're at might be, if it's an expo or something or a barrel race or whatever. You can ask them what else they do, and then you can start in with telling them about your discipline, or you can tell them about endurance. And so that's a good starter for somebody, a good conversation starter. It's just, hey, do you want some free horse cookies? And normally that's just, everybody's eyes get big. Yeah, I want some free horse cookies. And so it's just an opener. It's just a one-line opener. And it's an icebreaker, a good one.
Mm-hmm. And we can contact the AARC office and ask for some pamphlets and information that they'll mail to us.
Yes. The office was really great in sending me, I requested 100 because I'm going to do a booth at an obstacle challenge. Actually, it's this weekend in South Alabama. So I'm putting together just a small little gallon Ziploc bag with a pamphlet. I'm also going to use my local state park has a horse park. So I'm using their horse trail map. And then I have a pamphlet from AARC. And then I'll have a smaller Ziploc bag of a handful of cookies. So, and then I'll have a table with an AARC banner and a cooler of some bottles of water and maybe a box of chips or some cookies or something. And then just walk around and ask people if they want horse cookies. But the office was really great in sending me 100 pamphlets to get started for the booth. And then I'm also going to do another booth at a big trail ride in North Alabama in the fall, right before our clinic. And so I'll probably need to get a few more for that one, because it's a very large event. So there'll be a lot of equestrians there. So the office personnel has been exceptional in helping give me all the information I need, and I have conveyed what my ideas are. So pick two events, doesn't matter where, and go. Set up a table, you know, contact your hoster or the vendor office for that event, and ask them if you can come set up a table or a booth. Most of the time, if you're not selling anything, that booth is free. I'm not having to pay for either of the two booths that I'm doing or the table locations that I'm doing at either events. They're both free. So it's the office has been phenomenal in helping me with some material.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask to get some pamphlets. I can put them up at all the feed stores when I go.
Yes.
And every time I go, replace them in case they get taken. And I met one of my longtime endurance riding friends years ago by putting up a thing at the feed store.
Yeah.
So it does work.
I'm going to take a couple. I go on Fridays to get my feed. So I'm going to take a couple and put some at my feed store. And then we have two other feed stores in town. So I'm going to go and leave some of those with them. One of those locations is Tractor Supply. And then just the other one's just a local feed store. But yes, leaving some pamphlets at your local feed store is a great way. And leave your information on there. Write your name and your phone number on there so that if somebody does pick it up, they know that they can call somebody local. They don't always have to reach out to the office. I mean, they can, but just knowing that there's somebody local that's already participating in this, it's just another added helper in a way, because then they're comfortable calling you. And then you can talk about endurance and where you trail ride or where you condition or what the next local clinic might be or a ride. You might could do a ride share and go to an event. So, yeah.
Jennifer, how did you first learn about endurance?
From you on the podcast.
Spread the word.
Yes, spread the word. I was familiar with what endurance was, but getting to know you and what your adventures are and stuff is what really inspired me to take that next step. And then again, I found a couple of local people who participated in it, and they offered up a very low key, easy to access LD ride that included, and as a matter of fact, it wasn't even an LD ride. It was just a clinic. There was no competition at all involved with it. It was just a clinic. And then part of the clinic was a 5 mile ride, and everybody who participated could team up with a mentor, somebody who was experienced at it. And it was very casual and very low key. And that made it easy because I came from an eventing background where the rules are very, very strict and very carefully laid out. So if you read the book, you literally knew what happened for the entire day. So endurance was very intimidating to me because there are so many things that are not outlined, detailed, written in stone. So that felt very uncomfortable to me. It's like the wild, wild west. Oh my gosh, what do I do at every single moment? So that was really not, I like that you point out that put your name and contact information, whether it's your phone number, or your email, or whatever you want to put on those pieces of paper.
Right.
To have an actual human being who says, come on over here. We'll do this together. I think that's huge. Yeah, that was a great idea.
When I first started, the lady that I got started with just riding her horses, she worked for the government. She didn't have time to ride. And I had access to 3 different horses when I was a teenager. And she had a book in her house. And it is the America's Long Distance Challenge by Karen Paulo. And that's all I had. Mary did some LDs and was working towards the 50s, but then her life changed. And so she started motherhood and was not able to ride. So I helped keep her horses in condition because I was just learning to ride. But that book in her library literally guided me through all of the aspects of really kind of just the basics of what was required and how to get through this, how to get through the vetting, how to check your heart rate with just a stethoscope and a secondhand watch, or, how to tail up a big heel to save your horse, different types of saddles. And it was the only thing I had. I did not have, there wasn't big barns around me. I was just kind of in the middle of nowhere. I didn't have a horse circle at that time. I didn't even have a truck and trailer. I rode my horse everywhere. So that book helped me keep my horse in condition safely, even for just riding as much as I did without even competing. So that book was an excellent mentor that I had. Even though I didn't have anyone, I had that book. Anybody can host a clinic. I've never done an endurance ride. I've been following the sport. I help crew at as many rides as I can get to in the Southeast. I volunteer. I've been ascribed. I've worked in PNR. I've shadowed the timers. So anybody can do a clinic. There's plenty of information on AERC's website for webinars. There's educational information on there that you can read. And then look at the calendar and go volunteer at a ride that's closest to you. And if there's not a if there's not a clinic in your area, host one. I'm going to do I'm going to do a one-day clinic in October at our local state park, October the 3rd, at Paul Gris State Park. We have a great horse camp. It is a no horses needed clinic. And our topics are going to be fundamentals of getting started. Gated and non-gated horses can do endurance. Feeding the athlete, rider care, tack and fit, hoof care. And then we'll break for lunch, which is provided by our local Backcountry Horsemen of America chapter out of Grist. It's the West Alabama chapter. And then after lunch, we're going to have a how-to, and it will be getting through vetting and checking your heart rate.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and I hope we have encouraged other people to step up and do something to promote the distance riding sport so that we can keep the sports from declining any further.
Great show, as usual. So for people who want to learn more about endurance riding and find rides, find clinics, find mentors, where can they do it?
AERC.org. And you can also look up the ride calendar so you can see where rides are, so you can go and volunteer and learn if you're just getting started in the sport. Many rides now offer intro rides, which are a much shorter distances, so you can go and sort of try things out and see what you think.
There you go. And if you're not sure you want to give it a try, if you enjoy camping with your horse, if you enjoy trail riding with your horse at pace, you're not one of the, see, I tend to be a putt-putt, but if you like to trail ride with your horse and you like to go out for a good trot and a good gallop, and you also like to camp, endurance is a sport you really should try, because at the leisure level, you're doing it for fun and giggles, not because you want to get 50,000 miles like some people I know, hint, hint. It really is a great sport for getting out in the outdoors, and you're always seeing new countryside and get to cook hot dogs over a fire if you want to and give it a go. So it's AERC.org. And you can find the notes for today's show at horsesinthemorning.com. If you haven't done so already, you need to subscribe to the podcast. It's The Endurance Rider. Just go to your favorite podcast player and do that. For folks who want to follow along with what you do, where can they find you?
My name, KarenChatton.com, or on social media is NV Endurance Rider.
Dun, 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 and we'll see you next month.
Sounds good. You guys, happy trails, and wear your helmets and be safe out there.